Band the approaching the execution, the band's latest release, the Blood March, comes out in winter 2011. I guess that's what I'm what I'm seeing here. Can you tell us a little bit more about the concept and ideas behind this album?
Sure. Yeah. Well, this is Jeremy. I guess I was the writer of the story and the concept. You know, I mean, we all kind of had a hand in it, but I mean, I kind of asked the guys if I could, you know, if they wouldn't mind me, you know, kind of taking the free rein of hashing out a concept and kind of centralizing the whole premise of the album, because just, in the, I mean, from my personal experiences, I'm just so much more in tune when an album has a central theme, and I just pick up on things. I mean, you know, bands like Mastodon, bands like Dream Theater, Rush, I mean, you really just kind of latch on and grasp something a little bit more when there's a centralized concept. So anyways, I kind of bought into that, and, you know, I've been writing for years and years and years, and my past bands, I've tried concepts and things like that. And this one was the first one that kind of really worked out to fruition. And basically, if you want to look at it from kind of the macro standpoint, sort of the micro standpoint, there's basically two things going on. The main theme is basically a very pessimistic look at human nature, and it basically is a, and you can see kind of based on the cover art, it's basically saying that human beings are born into blood, or born from blood, and die into blood, and that's kind of what the Blood March represents. It's basically this very pessimistic look at nature, human nature, and how, you know, we have this inability to stop killing one another and destroying, you know, something that could be really beautiful and positive. And, I mean, that's not saying that the whole album's bleak, but, I mean, there's actually another story on top. So that's basically the, if you want to dig down deep into the skin of the album, that's kind of what the theme is. But on the top, on the surface, it's actually a story where different characters represent different things in human nature, kind of the main, I guess, I don't know, I call him protagonist and antagonist at the same time. He's a philosopher in the Middle Ages. Takes place about 1200s, 13th century, and basically he's proposing all these ideas that don't jive too well with you know, the clergy and the king. It's kind of a made-believe kingdom or land, you know, not really, you know, focused too much on where the actual location is, but, you know, and he develops a really strong following, and with one in particular strong follower who's just named the apprentice throughout the story, and basically this philosopher is imprisoned for his beliefs, and he's sent to die within 7 days. Now, within those 7 days, the apprentice goes to the philosopher's cell and, you know, learns his ways, you know, all while the philosopher is preaching, you know, civil disobedience and, you know, kind of this nonviolent means of gaining, you know, I don't know if you want to call it freedom or, you know, whatever they're really searching for. You know, and we have recurring themes throughout the album, you know, may hearts be shielded in the pursuit of what they're searching for. And that's kind of what his overall theme is. And human nature winds up kicking in again, because after the philosopher is put to death, instead of, you know, acting in accordance with the philosopher's will, the apprentice basically takes it into his hands and creates an army and creates a martyr out of this philosopher, and basically takes his words, warps them, and uses them, you know, to his gaining, and, you know, basically says, we have to march on, you know, the government and the clergy in order to spread reason throughout the land, you know, so he basically turns everything the philosopher said upside down and creates his own meaning of what was said, and they both wind up call each other the Blood March. And it kind of represents that cyclical nature of you know, the inability to, you know, use reason and, you know, to the advantage of all parties and actually hash something out, a stable, lasting reasonable lifestyle, instead of, you know, just this perpetual war and, you know, that we have in the world, and this perpetual violence, and I guess if you want to look at it as, I mean, just not logical on both sides, on all sides, because, I mean, there's so many issues to everything. So, I mean, basically, it you know, we try, what I want to say is, you know, with this album is, hey, let's, you know, kind of get a hold of ourselves and figure things out and stop destroying one another before there's nothing left to destroy. So that's kind of what the Blood March, I guess, in long-winded, unabridged form is all about. So that's basically it. I mean, I wanted something that, you know, kind of fit the time period, or that fit the music, I guess, as well, because, you know, our music's kind of vast and influences, but, I mean, it definitely has, like, more of a medieval feel to it, and, you know, I really wanted to encapsulate that and kind of run with that. And you know what, I mean, I think it was, I mean, you know, Andy and Mikey did a great job, you know, writing a lot of the guitar parts, you know, and it just, everything kind of molded together, and it really took wings and flew off, and, you know, we're really proud of it, and it was a huge group effort and cumulative effort, and, you know, I'm really proud of everything that we've done, so that's the political version of it all. So, yeah.
And, you know, in terms of the lyrics, we see the lyrics, and they seem to be, like, you know, more of, like, short stories than actual lyrics. How do you guys piece them together and actually make them fit to the vocal sections?
Well, I guess we all had a hand in it, as far as, you know, creating melodies that fit, you know, as far as musical melodies and vocal melodies that fit, you know, each part. I mean, it was kind of a, just a group effort. A lot of times we'd write, you know, parts first, songs first, and then, you know, I'd have a vocal, you know, basically, like you said, a short story already written. I'd add words, take out words, you know, kind of build it around that musical melody. And other times, you know, we'd have a musical melody and we'd kind of build the, you know, guitar hook around it or something like that. So it's kind of a... it was definitely a collaborative effort all around on the record, and, you know, just trying to make things fit with one another, as far as, you know, power and what's being said and the lyrics. It was just a lot of communicating between all parties, drums, you know, percussion, you know, the whole rhythm section, you know, kind of to bolster, you know, the message that was being spoken in the lyrics. So everybody kind of had to understand the lyrics, you know, and what was going on. You know, a lot of times people didn't understand what was going on, and, you know, we just had to take a time out and, you know, kind of rehash what we were going for. And, you know, I thought it brought us closer together, and it made us tighter. And, you know, everybody kind of understood what the concept of the album was and what we were striving for, and everybody was behind it, and it actually just worked out really well. So, yeah, Mikey, if you want to add anything to that, man, I'm sorry for talking so much.
I know, man. This guy's going to have to chop his hand off by the time he's done writing all this stuff down or something. But and basically, for me, as far as writing goes, I was like, well, what's the mood of this story at this point? Or what's this, you know, what is the philosopher or the character that we're actually writing about thinking? And, you know, what's going on? And almost write like a cinematic score to that, you know, to kind of like play it out. And even when we were producing the album in the recording studio, Matt Lucy, our engineer, was like, before we started doing vocals, was like, man, I feel like I'm watching a play when I'm listening to you guys' stuff. You know, what's going on here? So then we kind of broke it down from there, which I thought was kind of cool that we actually set out to do something and did what we set out to do.
What a concept, man.
Yes.
And in terms of, you know, time, how long did it take you guys to kind of put all this together? Because it sounds like a fairly ambitious, I guess, first official release, since we don't see anything else from you guys.
Yeah, it was the first.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's like 2.5 years in the process of all the fine. By the time the final cut, you know, took place, I mean, there were songs we had before that didn't make it on the album, and there was, you know, we set a goal. Well, we want 10 tracks, and we were finishing up the recording, set the release date. We had to write 2 more before we could even, you know, get it done and have what we really wanted. But I think that added pressure kind of really helped us out quite a bit. But we really were meticulous in our planning for every track on the album. So
yeah, I mean, this storyline, I mean, has been with me for a long time. I mean, I borrowed it from, you know, I didn't try to emulate anybody, but I borrowed some concepts from, you know, I mean, philosophers and writers. But I mean, it's kind of with me. It was burning a hole in me, and I wanted to get it out, you know. So I've written about it before, and I was like, all right, the next band I'm in, I'm going to try and, you know, push for this. And you know, I think, like Mikey said, it made everybody a lot tighter and better trying to push for this, you know, goal, because like you said, we had to meet it. We wanted to write 10 of the best songs we possibly write. We didn't want to have any filler on the album, and we wanted basically to ask, you know, 10 different people in a line what song they like best on the album, and have 10 different answers. And, you know, and hopefully that's what we, you know, we feel really good about it. You know, we feel, I mean, great about the whole package in general. So, yeah, it was definitely a breath of fresh air when we got it all said and done. I mean, we were able to breathe a sigh of relief, you know, and, you know, because it was, I mean, it was ambitious, something that we've never done before, and we were, you know, really, we weren't really sure what it was going to turn into. And, you know, I mean, the rest of the band really just kind of did an awesome job of putting it all, we made it all, you know, fit somehow, and it all just worked out. So.
And in terms of the music, you guys are all over the place with influences. Were there, like, any, you know, rehearsal room arguments about, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that, this sounds bad, or whatever, since it seems like everybody has way different backgrounds.
Right. Yeah, there was a few arm wrestling matches that decided a couple parts, for sure.
we arm wrestle.
Yeah. But, you know, it worked out in the end, because a lot of things was just, like, personal taste, and then, you know, whoever disagreed, we'd have to, like, you know, take a step back and look at the song as a whole, and, you know, once you explained, you know, where it fit and how it fit, and then if it still wasn't flying, then we'd just throw it out and do something else. But, you know, most of the time we got along. There's definitely times in the studio, one in the morning, though, where we're a little wired and unedged and almost had a couple fist fights, but, you know, whatever, with band stuff. So, but it definitely brought us all way closer together, and kind of, I think the pushing behind it was more like, come on, man, you can play that part better than that. It's just not good enough. So then we have to step it up to the next level, you know, whether we wanted to hear it or not. It's what needed to be done for the album to be what it is. So I think we all appreciated it for sure in the end. So.
Yeah, I agree, man. And I think that, you know, kind of just adding to that a little bit, we all went in knowing what we wanted to do. You know, we had this grandiose idea from the start, and we're like, all right, we want to make a concept album. We want to make it, you know, as intense as possible, and, you know, as I guess pushing our creativity as much as possible as well, and our playing skills, and you know, so I mean, you know, we had a few back and forths, but I mean, we're super close as a band, and, you know, we just work through it, because, you know, we're all friends outside of this, so it's really easy to, you know, just say, hey, you know, personal opinion, what do you guys think? Let's run through the democratic process of voting, you know, and if one idea was, you know, pushed away, you know, at the end of the day, there's no hard feelings. You know, we just moved on and made, you know, what we thought was the best song possible, I guess.
Right.
And what band do you guys want to, you know, mix the more modern metal, metalcore influences with, you know, more different and more established and classical, maybe European sound? I mean, how do you guys come up with, you know, saying, okay, we're going to mix this, or it just happened? Any insights into the band sound?
We take a whole bunch of shit and throw it at a wall and see what sticks. No, I'm just kidding. No, we don't.
That's not true.
No, it's not at all. Now, you know what? I mean, I'll let Mikey answer this more, but I mean, I think that, you know, it's just taking everybody's backgrounds, and, you know, we had a lot of parts that, you know, one of us would write a part, another person would write a part, and they worked really well together. They just, you know, it's just like, man, you know, this doesn't sound right because we're not used to hearing it. And there's a lot of things where we just kind of sat back and we're like, you know what, these two genres can, I mean, all metal genres can, I guess, coexist, you know, in, it, but it's just like people are kind of weirded out about that. And, you know, I mean, like, to put some, like, neoclassical, you know, metal riffs, you know, mixed in with, like, you know, the next part, like, have a pseudo-breakdown or, you know, more of a death metal part incorporated in it. It's like, wow, you know, this is weird. Should we be doing this, you know? And we just kind of had to get over the whole, you know, I guess, fear of bridging genres and kind of, and I mean, in doing that, we kind of found our own sound, and we found what we thought was working for us and what we really liked doing, you know? So, yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, Nick and I, you know, had talked about for a long time, even before the Prohibition Execution started up, about how we were kind of tired of going to shows and seeing, you know, these bands. It all sounded pretty much the same, you know? It's like, not that they were bad or, you know, anything, but it's just nothing, like, stuck out and, you know, struck us the right way as far as, like, oh, man, definitely need to, like, get that album, you know? So when we started writing, we kind of would take our old school influences, because Nick and I grew up on, like, you know, 80s thrash metal, and, you know, then Killswitch came in and started doing some things, and we really liked some melodic, you know, metalcore stuff, but we wanted to really keep it familiar, but kind of also, you know, push it further some way or another. And whether we did that or not, I don't really know, but we definitely did something in the process that we really like, and, you know, I'm happy that it worked that way. And then having six people contribute with all their different influences, I mean, we, like you were saying before, I mean, we can go from, you know, all the way down to, you know, Coheed and Cambria up to Jet for a Cowboy, or, you know, my dad was a country bluegrass musician, so, like, some of the vocal harmonies that they do and stuff, you know, definitely was kind of in the back of my head when writing some things. But, you know, it's just a eclectic group of things put together, and we just had to find that common thread to make it work, and, you know, hopefully we did so.
And in terms of the live setting, how does it all work? I mean, because everybody sings, everybody's playing, you know, somewhat complicated parts. How do you guys manage to pull it together?
Our buddy who's a videographer just posted a live video of us from the other night, and it was pretty cool seeing. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess we just try and go as crazy as we can and not screw up very much. You know, we try to keep the message as little as possible, and you know, does it always work that way? No, but I mean, you know, we try, and we you know, I mean, we are all believers. I think everyone in this band that, you know, I mean, especially being a local band, a smaller band, where, you know, you have a lot of your friends, you know, paying their hard-earned money to come see you week in and week out. And, you know, to just stand up there and play the songs exactly how they are on the record, you know, I mean, it's to all of us, I think we're all showmen, you know. We believe that, you know, when you buy a ticket, it's more about the music, and it's more about the atmosphere than the music, you know. I mean, the music has to be there, but I mean, what you do on stage, it's all about a performance. You know, when you sell a ticket, it's a performance. And I mean, I think we just, like I said, we just try as hard as we can not to screw up and go as crazy as we can on stage. That's kind of our I guess, you know, theme is each time we do a show.
Yeah, and I was also in the studio constantly, like, okay, now can we actually do this live, or is it just going to be studio magic, and is somebody going to be disappointed when we come to the show if we can't perform this? So we definitely try to keep those types of things to a minimum when recording the album. So, you know, usually we do, I think, a pretty decent job of getting most of the album, you know, included in the live show as we possibly can. So, you know, it's nothing. We're not playing to a vocal track or anything crazy like that, you know. So, unlike some bands that I mentioned, yeah, you know. So we try to at least, you know, pull it off. I mean, one of the best live bands I've ever seen is actually the Deer Hunter, and I know they're not the most metal band out there, but I do really respect what they do, because there's a lot of things going on in their album, and they played a small venue in Akron called Musica, and they sounded, you know, spot on. Everything
just like the CD, and it was for sure 100% all, you know, duplicated live, and I was like, wow, this is really impressive. And I think that, you know, we have that, like, progressive element to us, and I think that people that get the album would appreciate at least a strong attempt at capturing the full thing on stage. So we definitely try and do our best.
And in terms of, you know, I mean, this is the first release. It's fairly professionally done and everything. What are you guys shooting for? Are you sending it to a bunch of labels, or what do you think is the next move now that you have a pretty solid debut album?
Well, we wanted to first land an interview with Infernal Masquerade and go from there. We're sending this out. You know, if you guys wanted to, you know, do a review of it, which we appreciate much. And you know, we sent out to a lot of other. We're just trying to build street cred for us right now, and get our name out there to different interviewers and zines and reviewers, and you know, then we're taking all that feedback, and we're including it within our, you know, our material press kit and our electronic press kit, and we're just trying to, you know, send that out to as many people as possible, and get as many people to hear the record as possible. You know, I mean, whether they, you know, can pay for it or they can't, you know, I mean, I think the most important thing that we want to do is just get it out to as many people as we can, and at least that's where what I see, and then hopefully, the next step is, you know, seeing this through as a standalone career, you know? I mean, hopefully, fingers crossed, you know? I mean, that's what we've been working for Mikey and I for 10 years, you know? I mean, we've been in the game, so, I could speak for myself that would be pretty amazing to be able to just do this, what we truly love doing on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, we thank you for helping us along the way with these steps, man, for sure.
Oh, no problem. And, you know, so you kind of mentioned the future plans and everything. Do you guys have, you know, started thinking about the next release? Do you guys have music already, or what's the status in that?
No music yet, but some ideas definitely kicking around. I told everyone until we sell all the albums I have in my basement, we're not allowed to start writing music yet, so hopefully it'll... So next week we should start writing... No, I'm just kidding. But no, I definitely have some ideas kicking around. We just haven't really got it into it yet. We've got a lot of local shows coming up, and then a big, not like a huge tour, but our first, like, you know, couple thousand mile tour coming up in August, and we're really looking forward to that stuff. So really just focusing on getting a tight live sound and making sure we're top notch. So,
yes, sir.
Any like advances of which states are you guys going to be hitting off in August?
Well, yeah, actually.
Oh, good.
We're starting in Detroit, a club called New York, New York, and then heading over to Kalamazoo for a little local festival over there. We're listed as one of the headliners on that bill, which is pretty nice. And then down to Chicago, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Columbus, and then over to Howler's Coyote in Pittsburgh, and then in Boston, make a long trek over to Boston, but the big one is going to be Hurt Fest in Worcester, Massachusetts. It's going to be a pretty awesome show. Hurt Reynolds Clothing Company is putting it on. They're one of our sponsors, and they're definitely treating us very, very well right now, and we can't thank them enough for everything that they're doing for us, so we're making the haul out there to play for the festival and have a good time with those guys, and then we're heading home, so, for sure.
Oh, sounds interesting. Are you guys taking your band that's posted the pictures of the MySpace, or are you guys upgraded?
Yes. No, we're taking we named her Jean-Claude Van, and and we just bought a trailer, Tim the Cool Van trailer, and we're actually hopefully going to have a few minor adjustments on the van before we take it out for this long distance trip. We've got some realigning to do, and you know, work on the steering column, and maybe patch some of these big ass rusted hole in the side where, you know, water pours in when we're in a rainstorm. So, you know, just the little things. But, yeah, we're hoping that, the old girl can put out a couple more thousand miles and get us through, because, you know, I mean, unless we, you know, stumble upon a treasure chest or something like that, it's, you know, trying to replace the van before then isn't going to happen. But, you know, who knows? I mean, we can always keep our fingers crossed for it.
And just kind of the last question we had, how did you guys come up with the name, The Approach and the Execution? What made you guys pick this name?
That was actually, well, Mikey and I were in a band before with Nick. And, you know, we kind of all went our separate ways, what, 2006. And, you know, we kept playing in different bands. And, you know, I guess a couple summers ago, we kind of rehashed the idea of maybe joining back together, you know, doing a kind of a reunion show. Some guys were into, some guys weren't. And, you know, I said, well, you know what, I mean, what do you guys say about getting back together and, you know, writing some stuff? And, you know, we did, and, you know, we were kind of hashing around band names. And, you know, I think it was, man, it may have been the summer of 2008 when I think it was the Summer Olympics, and there was a floor routine. And this is seriously how I heard it. I think it was the vault or something like that, and this female athlete from, I don't even know where she was from, somewhere in Eastern Europe, and she was running, and she hit the trampoline, and, I don't know, hit some awesome move off the, whatever it's called, and they said, here's the approach and the execution, and I just heard it. I think I was working on something, and I wrote it down, and I was like, dude, that's freaking brutal. I know it's a horrible, horrible story for metal. Yeah, dude. No, but hey, they're pretty intense, man. I mean, you ever see a guy on the rings? Shit's intense. But I know it's a horrible, horrible story. But I was like, man, that's a pretty sweet name. And I was like, it has awesome meaning behind it, because, you know, when we started our other band before, you know, we didn't really see it through to the end. And, you know, to me, the approach and execution means, you know, following through and completing things and, you know, finishing off strong and, you know, ending where you want to be. And it also sounds pretty brutal, too, if you don't want to go in, you know, that much detail. So maybe, you know, in another interview, I'll leave out the gymnastics part and I'll just say, oh, yeah, it's about, you know, something more brutal and intense than it really is. But that's kind of how I came up with it. I had it written down. I asked the guys, and they, you know, didn't really stick at first. And, you know, then we kind of just had it in the back burner, and, you know, we kind of started liking it. And we felt that it kind of, like, you know, represented us because, you know, it's got so many meanings, and it's really versatile, kind of like our, I guess, like our sound is. Go ahead, Mikey.
I was going to say, you know, don't want to fool you. He makes it sound like the gymnastics was on in the background, but this guy was intensely watching it, I must say. I was not there, but I have an inside source. But, yeah, I like the name, too, because whether you look at it or not, I kind of like the shock factor that it gives people when I first, you know, meet them in my everyday life, because, you know, my career choice is not the most metal at all, and I look in a very white-collar environment, so people ask me all the time, well, what's your band name? I'm like, oh, The Approach and Execution. They kind of like want to throw up, and then, but then when I come back at them with the meaning about, well, you know, think about everything you do in life, you have to approach properly and finish strong, or else it's not going to be, you know, done well. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, what we're all about, like Jeremy was saying. So.
Oh, that's actually a pretty good story. Even though it's not metal,
sorry,
it's still
that.
Pretty good.
You watch those chicks, man. They're tough. They're tough as nails.
Just to kind of wrap things up, is there anything that you guys want to say to the people in North America and the world that are going to be listening to this interview?
Oh, man. Support us, please, and help us, you know, gain some kind of capital where we can make this, you know, make bigger trips and come out to see you guys and, you know, get our music in as many people's hands as possible, you know, whatever way you guys can. You know, can't thank you guys enough for checking us out, and, you know, again, can't thank Infernal Masquerade for, you know, enough for having us, and, you know, we're just hopefully pumped to be around for many, many more years to come, and, you know, hopefully we can keep doing this as long as possible.